little bit. Well, good morning. We are celebrating the birth of Jesus just like we celebrate birthdays in my house. They go for a week or two after or during the birthdays. We continue on. All of our prayers and the reading of scripture and the songs all point to Jesus. If we were a part of a jigsaw puzzle, the picture on the front of the box would be a picture of Jesus. And I want to continue that as we get into the message this morning. We used to have a little sign on the pulpit that said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I don't know what happened to it, but I think we ought to put it back because that's our focus. Sir, we would see Jesus. That's what I want to do this morning. I want us to see Jesus. The topic of my message this morning is going to be peace. It is something that was kind of rare about a week ago in preparation for Christmas. We don't experience a whole lot of peace during those busy, busy times. We talk about presents and parties and meals and relatives and all that goes along with it. Peace is kind of a rare commodity, but now that it's over, perhaps you're enjoying a little bit more more peace. Well, like I said, the topic this morning is going to be peace, and in my study, I ran across some interesting quotes that I want to share with you this morning. J.B. Phillips, and he's one that authored the Phillips edition of the Bible, said, "We face today a world torn and divided. A worldwide tension and suffering seems more overwhelming than in the previous era because we are much better informed about them than through modern means of news transmission." Now, growing up, one of the things we really looked forward to were movies. Okay, it was television at first, and then they came out with movies. And if you went to the movies back in the 50s, you know, they would start out the movies with newsreels. Okay, and you hear this click, 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 and on the screen in black and white were newsreels. It was news about what was going on in the world. Well, this is what J.B. Phillips was talking about. The rapid communication because of newsreels. Okay, I wonder what he would think about 2024. Okay, but it got me thinking about how the Word of God is applicable to every generation, addresses every need in every generation. There's another quote by David Wells. He says this about our world: "Anxiety has become epidemic. It is rooted in a sense of powerlessness and inability to control the circumstances of personal life, a feeling that people are mere pawns played by irresistible forces of society. Well, that sounds a little bit more up to date, doesn't it? I mean, because J.B. Phillips, when he wrote that, it was in 1952. Okay. J.B. Wells wrote this in 1994, which was 30 years ago. And he was saying that anxiety and stress is epidemic. We are out of control. We're like bobbing corks on the ocean, okay? You know, at home, my lighting is so bad. I thought I had written this on yellow sheets of paper, not white. I'm looking for my yellow sheets of paper. And I got it. So let's come up to more recent times, okay? There was a New York Times columnist who wrote an article about the internet, and part of what he wrote about the internet was very interesting, and I want to share that with you. He was talking about how quickly the internet gets news to the people. It's almost instantaneous. People are filming the event as it takes place, and then we're watching it at the same time. But this was his observation as part of his observation on the internet. And he was posting how he's pointing out how distinctions between the way we are able to say things and then they're gone, and how we're able to make gestures and they won't be remembered. Okay, he says, our words and our gestures fade into our memories. Old photographs are lost, but online, every dumb picture, every unfinished conversation, and every idle feud is preserved. Living, as it were, in a land of unforgetting. Online, we are not so much people as vast, unwieldy file cabinets, waiting to be browsed by our friends and raided by our enemies. Now, that's an interesting observation. Every word, every picture, every sight, everything you do on the internet is preserved. And what he says, it's like we are a file cabinet that is accessible to anybody, friends or enemies. If that doesn't cause you a little stress, I don't know what does. Anxiety and stress today is front page news. It is part of our everyday life, whether it's in our lives or on the worldwide stage. It's every day. It's a result of what the government does. It's in our work. It's in our schools, and it's in our homes. So epidemic is it that there is actually an American Institute of Stress. An American Institute of Stress. Now, I don't know how many members are here. Any members? If you were a member, you would have received an invitation to participate in a congress that they were having. Okay, and there were two choices that were given you. One was they're having a conference on stress, of course. You could go to the practical one, which was going to deal with the stress of daily life, corporate stress, combat stress, and post-traumatic stress. That was the practical one. Now, if you're a little bit more advanced, okay, you could have gone to the theoretical one, okay? And the theoretical one is going to tackle matters like dimensionality, I don't even know what that is, intentionality, and the concepts of reality. Which one would you choose? Well, here's a quote from the invitation that was handed out. Leading experts on life and the universe will provide cutting-edge theories about who we are and what part in the puzzle of the universe we fit into. Isn't that comforting? Yes. This is a real thing, a real institution. And the reason that such a thing exists is because of the reality of the absence of deep-seated peace in our human hearts. And people are prepared to do anything or do everything possible to address that issue in their lives. The inability to be at peace. It fills our hospital beds with diseases caused by stress. It fills mental hospitals with behaviors that are caused by stress. It fills our morgues because of people who do not know how to handle stress and anxiety. You can go to Barnes & Noble, and there's a whole section on how to deal with issues on stress. It's a real issue today in our lives. Peace is what God wants us to experience. Why don't we have peace? Well, Scripture gives us the ABCs of the reason why. First of all, we are by nature alienated from God. We are sinful and wicked. Therefore, we do not have a relationship with God. B, we're in bondage. We're in bondage to our own sinful desires. And C, we are in conflict. We are in conflict with God. We are in conflict with others. And we are in conflict with ourselves. That's why we don't have peace. We don't need therapists. We don't need counselors. We don't need the American Institute on Stress. We need a Savior, one who can change our hearts, one who can give us peace. We need a Savior, and that's exactly what God provided when He gave us baby Jesus in Bethlehem in the manger. The angel's announcement, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. The fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah 5. One will come, a victorious king, a shepherd king, and he shall be our peace. He shall be our peace. The great need for peace is found in our need for peace with God. So what is peace? What is peace? Bottom line, peace is that which comes from knowing God. Knowing that my account with God has been settled. Knowing that my sins, the wages of those sins, have been paid for. Peace is not simply the lack of turmoil or conflict. It is that, but it is also the presence of everything necessary for wellness and well-being for the good of the individual, both spiritually and mentally. Both spiritually and mentally. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus. That word keep means to be watchers in advance. A peace of God keeps. It's going to be a watcher in advance. It's to mount a guard as a sentinel. Okay. To protect. The peace of God is what it protects our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. There's a prayer that the Jewish people pray over their kids, okay? And it's found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 26. And it goes like this. You're familiar with it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Shalom. That peace, the reality of that peace, cannot be discovered absent from the light of his countenance and the blessings of his grace. It is a peace with God, it is a peace with others, and it is a peace within, and it only comes from God. Apart from this peace, there is no peace. That's obvious in the world in which we live. There's no peace in our lives. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 57, verse 20. This is profound. Of course, all of Scripture is profound. But this I thought was really interesting. The wicked, okay, which we are, okay, only by the grace of God we are not. It says, the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet. The wicked are like a tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet. and its waters turn up dirt and mire. Boy, now that's a picture. That's why the world does not have peace. We see that internationally, we see that interpersonally, and I know on occasion we see that even in our own lives. What does Jesus say about peace? Well, he says things about peace that nobody else says. You don't find it in Islam. You don't find it in the Hindu religion. You don't find it in the Buddhist religion. And you don't hear the Pope saying what Jesus says about peace. No one else is prepared to say what he says about peace. John 14 starts off with, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I have said these things to you that you might have peace." Peace is found in the person of Jesus, just like Micah says in the last portion that we read, "He shall be our peace." It was the promise and the prediction that God gave Micah to the people of Israel in their time of trouble. It was Assyria was besieging their city. They were frightened. They were humiliated. They were devastated. The future was grim. And Micah comes along and gives them a message from God and says, things are going to change. I am going to send one who is going to be ruler of Israel. And he will be your security. And he will be your peace. And he will be found in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem was a podunk little town. I mean, In Joshua lists something like 400 cities that were in Judah. Some of them were cities that he had conquered. 400. And Bethlehem was never mentioned. Never mentioned. It was backwoods, small, isolated, of absolutely no significance at all. Well, it's not surprising that God did not send the Savior to a princess, but to a Hebrew peasant girl. He did not send Jesus, baby Jesus, to a senator or a king. He sent him to a carpenter. He didn't send him to one of the big cities in the province, but he sent him to one. They probably didn't even have a post office in Bethlehem. They were so small. But our Savior, the Savior that Micah is speaking of, came into this world in the humblest of means. And I got to thinking, he not only came into this world humbly, but the last thing he did was wash his disciples' feet. How humble is our God and Savior. How do we experience the peace of God? Well, first of all, we have to know God. That we've made clear. Without knowing God, there is no peace. But there's a little story in Luke chapter 10, the end of the chapter. I love the story. It was Jesus was traveling through this area, and he was invited into the home of Mary and Martha. Okay. And Martha, well, it says that Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening to his teaching. Okay. Martha, it says she was anxious and troubled. This was Jesus' observation while he was sitting there. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled and anxious." And she said, "Well, tell my sister to come and help me. Get ready for eating, for setting things up." And Jesus turns to Martha and he says, "Martha, Mary is doing the good thing." Where was she? Where was she? At the feet of Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, "Come and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Touch him. Find yourself at his feet and touch him, and you will find rest for your soul. You will find the peace of God that passes all understanding. Close with this. It's evidently the song we're going to be singing as we close today. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The morning stars together proclaim thy holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Jesus is our peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that no matter what time in history, Father, whether it's past, present, or future, your word stands. Father, and you've given it to us to apply it to our lives no matter what circumstances in life we face. Father, we thank you for the promises. We thank you for the prophecies that you've given to us and the fact that you have kept your promises and you have fulfilled your prophecies. Father, you've sent a Savior. And he shall be our peace. We thank you that you are a promise keeper. And Father, we look forward to putting into practice the things that you've taught us about how we can pursue our relationship with you. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your love, for your kindness, and Father, for the peace that we only find in your presence, a peace that passes all understanding. We give you our thanks, and we do that in your Son's precious name.